Okay. A few things. Summer camp is going well and is well attended. There's over 250 students there. I was out there last week and saw lots of smiles, not only from the students, but also the staff, which is nice. Next year's after-school program is basically full. We were able to accommodate most that applied. I think there might be one on the waiting list, which that will get in.
One family or one person?
One child.
One child.
I think so.
Wow.
The end of the year went well. The eighth grade promotion ceremony was great. As usual, the students' speeches are always the highlight, in my opinion. They did a great job. Lots of projects happening around the district. The maintenance crew poured a nice walkway out at Lone Tree. Also, the old falling apart shed on the preschool on base was removed and a new one is being installed. On Monday, our maintenance and grounds crew will tackle the palm trees at Lone Tree and also trim up the tree on the old graduation field. Friday is Juneteenth, so summer camp is closed. Employees have the options with their schedules for this holiday, but no one will be around on Friday. Wheatland Elementary grounds have never looked so good. Thank you to our grounds crew that have jumped in and taken that over. As we do every summer, our buses are being cleaned and waxed, and that's why ours stay yellow while everybody else's is orange. The board meeting on Thursday is at 5. I know that some of you got calendar invites that said 4, but no, it's 5. No closed session tonight, so once we're done out here, we can adjourn for the evening. We will have closed session on Thursday. The legislation has passed their budgets, but by the due date of today, now there will be 2 weeks of negotiations between the legislation and the governor. We shall see how that goes, but it's looking better for this upcoming year than we originally thought. However, districts are urged to continue to look towards the future and continue to evaluate their budgets. And last, I have the county fair starts on the 19th and goes through the 26th. So if you're inclined to go over there to support our local students and as they sell their livestock, that would be great. That's what I have for superintendent's update. You have a separate report from?
No.
Okay.
Just
the budget. So that'll be after that.
Okay. Any communication from the public? Okay. Moving on to consent agenda. Are there any questions or comments about the consent agenda? Can I have a motion to accept them, please?
I make a motion we accept the consent agenda.
And a second?
I'll second it.
Right, so just for the audience, we only have three here tonight, so everything would have to be unanimous for it to pass. Christina has vertigo and had to take medication, so she was unable to come over, and Taylor had a family wedding that she was forced to attend. She told me last night she'd rather be here, so that'll tell you how much she's enjoying going to the wedding. So we have the three of them, and we'll go through all the action items still. We're not going to change the agenda at this point. But Regine will have to vote on all of them, which is not normally the president doesn't vote.
Okay, 5.1, approval of superintendent employment agreement.
So this is the superintendent employment agreement for 26-27. The board has unanimously selected Angela Gauker as the new superintendent starting July 1st. And this is the contract that you all sat down and negotiated in closed session, and it's coming to the board for approval. And once the board has approved, then it will be posted like all other contracts.
There's no questions or comments. Can have a motion to accept, please.
I will. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You're official.
You're
and now we can post it and you
paid.
Can hear.
You get paid for that job.
Okay, so I'm going to do a presentation, but this is information only because you are not allowed to bring your LCAP and your budget and have it all approved at the same meeting. So hence why we have two meetings in June. So the public hearing is for our LCAP, our local indicators, and our federal addendum. We are required to do a federal addendum because California doesn't always follow what the feds think. And then the local indicators is just part of it that we do all the time, and then that gets posted on the dashboard. So I will try to get through this fairly quickly. The LCAP is a basic repeat from last year with a few different changes, and I'm not going to touch the screen. So this is for the 26-27 local control and accountability plan. This has been going on for a number of years now. It's something I will not miss, but we have to go through it. So the purpose of the LCAP, it is to align district goals with student needs, to guide our spending decisions, not all of them, but some of them, to measure progress towards student success, ensure accountability and transparency, and it reflects input from many groups, students, staff, families, and community partners. So we start off with an overview, approximately 1,270 students. That does not include preschool. Three schools, one charter, and two state preschools. We are supported by the Wheatland community and the Beale Air Force Base community, and a lot of other communities because we have quite a few inter-district transfers. Approximately 22% Hispanic, 58% white, 20% other ethnicities. Approximately 250 employees, probably closer to 275, but 250. Strong academic, arts, athletics, and technology programs. Expanded special ed and support services, and we still continue to support the SBC program for Plumas Lake. We're a highly sought-after district. Over 50% of our students are on inter-district transfers. So we get a lot of students wanting to come here from surrounding school districts. We get some in and we have to turn them away. Budget overview. Anna's going to go through the budget next, but this is how it relates to LCAP. We receive approximately $17.1 million in LCFF funding, $4.4 million in other state funds, and $2.7 in local and $2.7 in feds, so about $26.9 million. LCFF supplemental and concentration funding is $756,000. We basically get supplemental. We don't get much for concentration. That's for places that are like 80, 90, 100% grade reduced, so they get a lot more of the concentration funds. And we support English learners, foster youth, and low-income students with these funds. The expenditures, so total general fund expenditures is $28.8 million. LCAP actions, so the things that are tied to this LCAP, we're spending about $7.2 million, and for the high-need students, we're spending $1.35 million. The district investments are focused on student achievement, staff quality and pay, student engagement, special education inclusion, CTE, career tech education, school safety, curriculum, and transportation. So that's where we spend the majority of our funds. Performance highlights are English learners progress increased significantly. Our chronic absenteeism reduced by 10.1%. That's huge. It's also helps fund because people have to be here to get paid. Strong implementation of our intervention supports. We still have three intervention teachers that we pay for through the general fund. Areas of needing continuous focus, our homeless students, our students with disabilities, our English learners, and attendance recovery. We've got
got to get our numbers up on the check. So the recovery program will help do that. So these are our stakeholders. I'm not going to read them all off. You can see them. But the themes that are identified through these groups are improve learning for all, expand intervention services, maintain small class sizes, improve math achievement, strengthen student well-being, and improve attendance. So there's five goals in our LCAP. The first one is academic achievement. The focus areas are language arts, math, English learners, foster youth, low-income students, and students with disabilities. The major investments are in professional development, class size reduction, technology, data systems, paraeducation, paraeducator support. We are still one of the few districts that supports our classrooms as much as we do compared to other districts. And then supplemental materials. So we spend about $3.3 million on this goal. The successes are we have 54.24 EL reclassification rate. We have one-to-one technology access for grades 4 through 8, and even down to some of the other grades now. Strong implementation of the iReady program. Our teachers have monthly collaborative planning sessions on some of their minimum days. And we have improved intervention supports in these last few years, so that's really helping. Goal 2 is the high quality of staff and safe schools. So it's to retain, recruit, and support excellent employees. We do not have a problem recruiting. We do not have a problem retaining, and we do not have a problem supporting. It's just that when people leave, for whatever reason, mostly retirements, then we need to make sure that we continue to bring in high quality. So we need highly qualified teachers, strong leadership, safe learning environments, and continued facility maintenance. And our facilities are in great shape. Targets, we need to have, our target should be 100% highly qualified teachers. With the middle school flex program, you're never going to get to 100% because you can't have a drama teacher that only does just a flex. So 97 is a good spot. 100% for highly qualified principals and 100% facilities rated in good or exemplary, which we have that. If we had to include Far West, we would have that. But we don't have students there, so we don't include it. Engagement and attendance is our goal 3. So increase student, parent, and community engagement. Focus areas, attendance, parent communication, student wellness, school connectedness, recognition programs, and family resource centers. Our current successes is we have, based on surveys, we have 80% parent satisfaction, and we have improved attendance systems. We've seen that this year. And we have a really strong community participation in our students. Goal 4, inclusion and special education. Expand inclusive opportunities. I think we do a great job with our inclusion program. All of our teachers are willing to have students come and go as needed. So our key accomplishments are district operated SBC program, increased inclusion opportunities, strong preschool inclusion model, and care educator support. We have approximately 75% inclusion rate, which exceeded our original targets. The other thing too is just for those of you that were here when we took back our SDC programs, and we thought they were really expensive at $36,000, and we knew we could do it cheaper, which we are doing a lot cheaper. They are now $75,000 if you had the county doing them. So that was a very good decision when we made it.
Question.
Yes.
Where do you get that inclusion?
So it's based off of the reports we've done, so I'm wondering if there's some reports that maybe, and it's always kind of a year behind.
Okay.
You know, so this is for, we don't know what the inclusion rate will be for 26, 27. I'm expecting it will continue. readiness and workforce development. Our difficulties of late is grant funding. We're not seeing the grant funding that we used to. Partnership with the high school, we're not seeing them being willing to work with us on our CTE and then our alignment with the high school. It seems like we get agreements with the high school on what we're going to do for CTE, and then for some reason they shift. So it causes us a problem because we have to have alignment with the high school to qualify for most of the grants. So our successes, our FFA program is highly successful. We have high achievement amongst our students, community involvement and buy-in, high student requests, so lots of people want to come here. County fair success, we see that every year. Local financial support, we've had a lot of support from the water district and local, there's all kinds of other ones that increased services for high need students, our key investment by category. Largest LCAP investments are academic intervention, we're spending $1.3 million, class size is $1.10 million, high qualified staffing is $893,000, paraeducator support, $580,000, counseling services, $517,000, technology, $480,000. So you can see where money goes quickly. Looking ahead, what are the priorities? Improved academic achievement, just continue to work on that. Strengthen attendance recovery, support our high need students, expand inclusion practices, grow our career pathways as best we can, maintain strong community partnerships. In closing, we in the school district Learning for All, together we should continue to student well-being, strong community partnerships, teacher readiness, quality staff, fiscally sound, board involvement, which you guys are always involved, quality administrative staff, maybe. Just kidding, we have great staff, safe schools, and clean schools, and we have those as well. So that leaves me with Tag and Jurek. You got this. So that's the report on the LCAP. It will come back to you for approval on Thursday. And you can see it's 123 pages, so I tried to bring it down to what you could understand. But feel free to read every page if you want.
Austin did, by the way, he told me. So
I know. Good.
Don't put me on the record.
I saw
him
over on the track and driving.
And then Paul did. It's like, yeah. Just watch me stuff.
So this does not take any kind of approval tonight. Just for information, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
It helps you if you need sleep.
Any questions?
Drugs.
Anyone?
I was noticing that one of the priorities to continue is the students with special interest needs. Does that include like the Spanish learners?
Yeah, that would be on the EL side, but special needs would be special education students.
Okay.
And sometimes they can be Spanish speaking as well. So okay. We have a pretty large percentage of our students in special education. And if you look at test scores year after year, that's our area of focus to try and get those students up to at least close to grade level. Mm-hmm. But it's a difficult thing to do.
Thank you.
the projected unrestricted revenue shown here, $19-20 million. LCFF revenue, $17 million. Federal revenue, $1.8 million. Other state revenue, $619,000. And other local revenue, $116,000. And this pie chart to show you what that looks like. Projected combined revenue, $26-27 million. These are the expenditure factors that went into the budget. Again, part of the factors I showed you earlier and part of the factors that we talked about after the main revise. The step in column, it's an average of 1.5, but it depends on some areas are a little bit higher than others, but it's an average of 1.5 that we projected in salaries and benefits. PERS went down by a little bit from the current year, 25-26. So we are projecting, we are using the CalPERS rate of 26.4. The STIRS the same, it hasn't changed. Changed 19.10, the statutory benefits. It's a combination based on certificated and classified. Those statutory benefits are cost to the district. Classified, certificated, and all the other units, the benefits are the same, they cap at 14,000 for health and welfare. The projected expenditures here on this graph, it illustrates that 83% of the general budget goes towards salary of the combined budget, but if you just take the restricted, it's 89, and it actually has gone up from the last time that I presented. That's what goes into salary benefits and salary and benefits combined. The projected contribution from the general fund is all, there are several small contributions that the general fund will do from time to time to the restricted side of the budget, but the main ones and the large ones are special education and the routine maintenance account. So those two combined is $3.5 million that the general fund is going to contribute to these programs. These are projections, these numbers will change, but in the past they pretty much have stayed at $3 million. Of special education, but due to the governor investing into the special ed and more in education, special ed revenues are higher than what we projected in the past, and it's historical, according to experts, that more money has gone into special ed than ever before. So that's helping with the contribution. If you look at your Form 01, your estimated actual show that the special ed was, and we may be paying $3 million in your saving that amount. Unbalanced components, revolving cash, there's an account that we have, and it's always between 13,400 and 13,700. The restricted ending fund balance is 3.2. All of these are projections. Other assignments assigned to deficit spending. This is what's on reserve at the bottom, very bottom of, after you calculate the 5% for economic uncertainty, whatever that's left, we assign it for deficit spending so that we can take care of that deficit in the next 3 years. And your fund balance is projected at $60 million. These are the restricted programs. And you will also see them in your Form 01 of the adopted budget. It's at the last page of that Form 01. And these are the one-time, some of them are one-time funds that we have. And what we estimated for 25-26, what we're going to end the year with, if we don't use a lot of these funds, and a lot of them are one-time, restrictions, so we are allowed to carry them over in most cases. And then the estimated budget is what I budgeted, and that will be what we're projecting to end the year off with your restricted balances. This is the multi-year projection, slide 15. This shows you what we talked about, the proposed budget, the first three columns, and I circled $600,000 on the restricted, and that's the ELOP fund.
We had discussions last year, during this year, that they would buy modules. So that one estimate that we received, anywhere from 500,000 to 600,000, so I budgeted, because you're also receiving more ELP funds. In addition, there will be one more classified position in there, which is budgeted already in your ELP funds. And the more funds that we receive, the more restrictions there are, the more work that there is, and therefore these things are needed. So it's budgeted, things will change, and I will bring more information as it becomes available. Then you can see the ending fund balance. You can see that you're able to meet the 5%, 5.11 actually right now. We were at exactly 5% of economic uncertainty when I presented it last time, and it's gone up because we worked on estimated actions to release some of the funds that we're not going to spend before June 30th, and it goes back into. But we're pretty close to what we have projected. So 5%, now it's 5.11. Now the next year, instead of the 606,000, I budgeted, I removed the 600,000, and I budgeted 100,000. Because with having modulars or anything, any construction come other expenditures to maintain. So I left that there just as a projection in the last 2 years, the out years. But we're also saying that for 27-28, the deficit spending, which is deficit spending is the surplus or deficit in the projected year, 26-27, we're projecting deficit spending of 1.9 million. It goes down here, 1.1 million, it goes down. It goes down to 1 million. In your 27-28 and 28-29. So we are budgeting conservative with the funds that you're receiving, trying not to use the one-time funds until we have a plan to use them, and therefore making it, reduce the deficit. Other things that went into the salaries and benefits in the out years is the seventh column. Also, I budgeted the COLA for negotiation that you will be looking at later on. But that's budgeted in here in some areas, not in all. So after everything is approved on Thursday, I will start looking at adjustments immediately. Some of these things have already changed. We start using the factors that are provided with the information that we had last month and in the last couple of weeks, and things change. This is a projection. It's a blueprint. It's what we're thinking we're going to be, but things are going to change. Also, I did not budget a couple of other one-time funds that will be coming. We weren't sure since the main revise, but we are going to receive additional block grant, additional kitchen infrastructure funding, and those things, while some of it is in there, it's a conservative projection. Let's see what else. And you meet the 5% every year. Any questions regarding the multi-year projection?
Yeah, I have some. The previous reports we've gotten, our multi-year projection has been in our available reserves has been like in the 3% range. I don't want to misspeak, but it's been much lower than the 5, correct?
It was 4.7.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that one-time funds being received but not spent yet is part of the reason for that increase?
That's part of the reason for your restricted balance.
Okay.
It's in the restricted site. So if right now the expenditure is under the unrestricted, one example is the art and music Prop 28 grant. The teacher that was in the unrestricted, I moved that teacher to the restricted. So the one-time funds, I don't know if I'm answering the question correctly. but it's we are using it to reduce the general fund here and make more money available for the reserve for economic uncertainty.
Correct. So what happens when we find a teacher for the music program, or we spend some of that one-time money, then does that affect our 5%? Then we're going to be back to where we...
Maybe in this, in the future years.
Okay.
Because I've already budgeted that teacher.
Okay, I'm following.
For 1 year, and that's just one example. There are other one-time expenditures in here. I've already budgeted the music in our teacher in the in that grant, under that grant, and there will be 2 more years worth of balances, available balance, to pay that teacher for the next 3 years.
Okay.
So we do have to, at the end, I'm saying what we should be looking at so that we don't go into 29 early and the out years getting into deficit again.
Okay. Thank you.
The other thing, too, Austin, is one-time monies is kind of a interesting term, because a lot of times they give you the one-time money and they give it to you again the next year and again the next year, but you can't count on it. Mm-hmm. So we call it one time, but you're still getting it.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. It's been happening more recently, right?
Yeah.
And that's why they're going back, the state is going back to giving us categoricals, which come every year. It creates more work, more restrictions, and here we are again. So yes, we will continue to see these funds. So we just have to be careful how we budget them.
It's that pendulum thing where the categorical is all one way, and here we're going to give you this big block grant, and you can spend it so you have more availability to your funds, and you can spend them how you see fit in the district. And now they're coming back and they're saying, okay, well, we're going to give you this problem, but you can only spend it in these ways, which in some ways is less of a gift because that might not be what you need.
And you do have to be careful. This is just an overview. A lot of changes will happen, I think, because, and I'll go into it in the next slides. This over here is all of the other funds, their beginning balance, that's what changed, and then the, what we're